In the video clip I showed before of the journalist on the BBC, a very famous incident, only happened about 6 months ago, but it made world news everywhere. John Sweeney was a very measured, respectable journalist for the BBC, and he did a documentary on Christian Scientology. And what we saw before was a scene where, towards the end of the making of the documentary, he got so fed up with the people that he was researching that he just lost it. And the next couple of weeks, all around the world, people were showing the clip over and over again of John Sweeney losing it. He was so embarrassed, mortified, but he said, "I couldn't control myself." Have you ever had a situation where you just couldn't control yourself? You were that angry. It just, you know, anyone in your way was devastated. Anger is obviously a part of all humanity. It's also a problem to people who follow Jesus. And the verse that I want to focus on today was in the chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. There's this little line there which says, "Love is not easily angered." So if we are going to love like Jesus loves, and we're going to take his command to love seriously, the anger issue is something we have to get control of. There are very interesting statistics about anger. Here are some ones which might surprise you. I got these ones, they are actually from England, because I couldn't find Australian statistics, but you know, we're rejects from England. Well, I am anyway, so I don't know if there's truth, but this is pretty funny. 45% of us regularly lose our temper at work. 64% of people working in an office have had office rage. 33% of Britons or British are not on speaking terms with their neighbours, and 1 in 20 of people have had a fisticuff fight with a neighbour. 80% of drivers say they've been involved in road rage. 25% of them have admitted to committing the act of road rage. 1 in 7 adults have sought medical treatment for stress. And the one I particularly adhere to, 50% of us have reacted to computer problems by hitting our PC, hurling parts of it around the room, screaming or abusing our colleagues. PC rage, or net rage as they call it. So, anger is a social phenomenon and it can be a real problem. When are you most likely to express your anger? It was put to me that people, by psychologists, that people generally express it mostly at home. Certainly true from my life experience. And the psychologist was also a Christian lecturer at Moore College, and he, in telling us that, also said that, yeah, this is the loveliest guy I ever met. Like he wouldn't say boo to anyone. And he said, he confessed to us, "Look, I have so much rage against my teenage son right now. I've never known I could be so angry until my kids became a teenager." So, you know, he's gone nuts. And the Bible says this is not good. Famous verse in Colossians chapter 3, "Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged." So the issue of anger not only happens, but happens in probably the critical areas of our life, which is our closest relationships, the ones which are most important. Usually behind closed doors where there's no one watching. It will affect your relationships, for me, kids, certainly friends, parents, all that sort of stuff. But the good news is we can control our anger. In fact, you already know you can control your anger. You've done it before, possibly many times. Just think back to a time where you're going hammer and tong against someone in your home. Mum, brother, shouting, throwing things, swearing, and the phone rings. "Hello? Oh, how are you? Just hold on, I'll get him." Right. "Hello?" "Yes, very well, thank you." So easy for us to put on a fake face when we have to. But in doing so, we illustrate that we can snap out of it much quicker than we might feel we can when we're caught up in the fit of rage. What I'm going to do today is give three outward tips or practical tips and one inward tip for moving forward with the anger problem, dealing with our anger. If you're taking notes, I'll give you the headings of each point. The first point is this. Remember the cost. When you get angry, there is a cost involved. There is a price to pay. The Proverbs, the Old Testament, written by Solomon, full of very wise things. Here's Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Have you ever made a fool of yourself in your anger? Please ask of yourself. I'll tell you a funny story. Towards the end of last year, I was driving on our roads in the local suburb here. I just dropped my kids off at school at Undercliffe, and I was coming off, if you know it, Bayview Crescent, back onto Homer Street, and what often happens is cars coming the other way from Homer Street onto Bayview Crescent, going towards the city, cut the corner. And here I was, just about to turn left, and this idiot cut the corner, and almost full on, I had to hit the brakes so I didn't hit him, and I whacked my horn just as quickly as well. So I hooted him pretty loudly and let him know, yeah, I'm more than happy with that, Jan. At the same time, on that same corner, there's a little service station, and there was another car pulling out of that service station, a little white car. And the person in that car happened to do cut in front of us who were turning and do an illegal U-turn and join the cars that were going opposite traffic to us. Now, it just so happened that the timing of the hoot of my horn made the person who did that illegal move think I was hooting them. And I caught the person as they went right in front of me with a fist up, letting off the F-bomb in no uncertain terms to me. My eyes focused in on the colour of the hair. It was a senior person. And then I realised it was one of my congregation members. I was copping it. And it was so funny because I didn't know they were there or what they were doing. But anyway, there you go. And I laughed. I told my family and others afterwards. Laughing about who it was. I mean, seriously, they would be mortified if they knew what they'd done to their local minister in that moment. And, you know, we can make a real fool of ourselves just in moments of rage. So remembering the cost is really important. I heard a statistic, when you get angry, you lose 50% of your IQ. And you always lose when you lose your temper. You can lose your reputation. You can lose your respect. I know lots of people who've lost their job because they just couldn't control their frustration with their boss or whatever. You can lose the love of your family. That verse I said before about fathers embittering their children. I know too many people who, even in adulthood, have just the deepest resentment against their fathers because they were neglected or their fathers were overbearing in some way or another, didn't treat them with respect, but were very angry. And I fear that that would happen to me one day, and I really hope. And you can lose your health too. So first thing, before you lose it, remember there's going to be a cost to pay if you just let loose. Consider that cost. Second thing is reflect before reacting. Think before you speak. Simple tip. Sounds pretty wise. Anger control is a matter of mouth control. Here is another verse from Proverbs 29. This one's verse 11. A fool gives vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps control. Keeps control. If you want to be wise, you don't lash out. So, tips. When you're feeling really, really angry, stop and reflect. Someone said, you can't put your foot in your mouth when your mouth's closed. Stop. Chill out. Walk away. Suck it in. And go ask yourself, why am I really angry here? What is going on within me that's making me angry? If I have a time warp back to as a teenager, not a day went by where I didn't have some explosive fight with my dad. It happened every day. And it didn't matter what he was doing. I was just angry at him. And even if he probably did something nice to me, I would just be angry at him. There was stuff there which I wasn't prepared to analyze and work out and deal with. But the wise person reflects. The more you can understand your anger, the more you can understand yourself and other people and sort out the issue. Third thing. First one was remember the cost. Second thing, reflect before reacting. The third one, release anger appropriately. There are right ways and wrong ways to express anger. Do you know, anger is not a sin. If anyone says to you anger is a sin, it's not a sin. Anger is just a God-given emotion. It's a function of being made in his image. God gets angry. Jesus got angry at the temple. We see the Old Testament, God getting angry at the people who continually reject him. It's an aspect of humanity. So here's a verse which is really helpful to clarify where the problem of anger is. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Did you hear that? In your anger, do not sin. The sinning isn't the anger, it's what you do with the anger. So it pays to reflect very carefully how you express your anger. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. I'll give you three wrong ways and a right way. Wrong way number one. What you shouldn't do is you shouldn't suppress your anger. Shouldn't suppress it. That means suck it in, keep it within yourself, eternalize it, and let it stew. According to the Victorian government Department of Health, unexpressed anger or suppressed anger can cause all sorts of health problems. They said, the short and the long-term health problems that have been linked to unmanaged anger include headaches, digestion problems, insomnia, increased anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, skin problems such as eczema, heart attack, and stroke even. So if you're a person who just sucks it in, you're not doing any good for yourself. And that's not the solution. Don't suppress it. Also, don't repress it. That's going into denial. That's like pretending there's no issue there. That's just like being all la 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 and life's all full of flowers and cuddles, but you know, not acknowledging that there's even a problem to start with. Don't repress it. If you're angry, there's an emotion that's reacting to something. So let's have a look at the something that you're reacting to. Don't suppress. Don't repress. Don't express. Talked about this already. John Sweeney, the journalist, what psychologists call primer screaming. He's just going nuts. He just had to shout at the guy's face. What happens when you're having a shouting contest with someone? Person A raises their voice. What does person B do? Raise their voice. So person A has to raise their voice more. And it becomes a, you know, big shouting. No one hears anyone. You don't hear the other person. You're just expressing your raw emotion. That doesn't actually solve the problem. It doesn't help at all. So don't suppress, repress, express, but confess. Confess when you have an anger issue. Admit it. Admit it first to yourself. Admit it to God in prayer. God, you know, I am really going nuts here. So angry. And it may be possible for you to tell the person for whom is the root of your anger that that's the case. It may not be. So go to someone else, a friend. Say, I'm really feeling angry. Get it out there. And you'll find that just in doing that, you'll start thinking more clearly. You'll be able to untangle the mess. You know, when I have a fight, like if I have a fight with my wife, and she's sharp as a tack at those moments, and she can think clearer than ever when the fight thing, and I'm a guy, so my mind turns to mashed potato, And there's no point me even engaging because I'll only say stupid things and make a fool of myself. I cannot win the argument at those points, and it's just going to make matters worse. So I've got to go away, call my best friend, whatever, say, gee, do I have to wash up every night? So whatever the issue is that's getting her upset. Okay, well, moving on. So there's some tips for releasing your anger appropriately. Confess it. So I've talked actually three practical tips. Remember the cost. Very important. Reflect before reacting. Release it appropriately. But there, if you think about it, all those things I've given you, a psychologist can tell you that. There are wise ways of dealing with the human phenomenon of anger, but they don't necessarily deal with the root cause of most of our anger. Let me give you an illustration. My middle son, Oscar, is a lovely kid, but he is so passionate. When he gets angry, he just loses it. He just goes into fits. He snaps out pretty quickly, but if I say to Oscar, set her down, mate, sit in the corner and make him sit down. Put your hands on your lap, calm down. And he's wanting to pick up things and throw them through the window and stuff. I'm serious. He'll get his favourite toy and just break it. And I can force him to stop reacting in those ways he wanted, but he sits there still. He could be dead quiet, but inside he's still churning. Inside he's still boiling. Inside the problem's still there. He's just somehow controlled the outward thing. And with most of us, when we are angry, particularly if we're angry people, if we're prone to be angry consistently with one person, like a parent or a sibling or the person at school or work, you'll find there's actually another issue going on there. And it's an issue that will go as deep as your heart. And if we're ever going to deal with true anger problems, outward solutions aren't the ultimate answer. An inward solution is the answer. This is where being Christian makes the solution unique. For what we need is a new heart. It is our heart that generally governs what we say and how we do. What outward reactions we give to things express inward feelings. And so it's the inward issues, which often are the ones which we've got to tackle. And often they're sin issues. Often they're resentment issues. Often they're hatred issues. Often they're also things. Look at someone's heart and you'll probably get a good prediction about how they will act, for example. People who are judgmental, people who are always picking on that, you probably find their heart is a guilty heart. If you look at someone who is boastful, always is boasting about what they've got, what they've done, who likes them, whatever, you'll probably find that they've got an insecure heart. If you've got someone who's critical, they've got a bitter heart. They're bitter. Maybe something hasn't gone right in their life. If you've got someone with a filthy heart, it implies an impure heart. You find people who are encouraging, who lift you up, they've got a happy heart for some reason. And if you've got people who've got gentle words to say, you probably open up and find a loving heart there. But angry people, there's something going on in your heart. The bottom line solution is you need a new heart. And that's the message of Jesus. Jesus' promise is to give us a new heart, one that's not tainted by all the rubbish of being sinful people. And this is not just a promise that Jesus said out of the blue. This is an ancient promise that God had made right from early days, long before Jesus. I want to read your prophecy. It's from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. This is like 600 years before Jesus came. And this is when, right at the height of God's punishment against Israel, when he's sending the Babylonians to wipe them out of Jerusalem, he was still holding forth his promise to one day change the root problem of people who are rebelling against him, the heart. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is the rich promise that God said to the ancient people. And Jesus came along and he preached the good news, the time had come. And when he ascended to heaven, a few days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and filled the lives of all believers. The church got born that day. We heard this message with the Archbishop on the weekend away, for those who were there, and it's exciting stuff. But the Christian actually has Jesus inside them, going to work on our heart and changing it. And I said this last week, when we get to heaven, this world is done, we will have the complete heart transplant done. If you dissected our heart, we'll find it will look just like Jesus' heart, and in the middle of it will be the names of every other person except you, because we'll be other person-centered. But right now, there's lots of me in there and lots of problems in there, and the Christian has the power of God in them for transformation. You get frustrated with anger, Jesus is the key to moving through, because he can change you. And so that's why you need a relationship with him, and an active relationship with him. You need to be born again. You need to have the Holy Spirit. Being born again means you have in your heart said, once for all, I follow Jesus. I trust in him to take away my sins. I believe he rose again from the dead. I believe he can give me eternal life. Those basic things. When you can say that in your heart, and you can pray to God in your heart, just between you and him, I follow Jesus, you're born again. God will enter into your life. And if you are born again, you are Christian, you still need to maintain an active relationship with the Lord Jesus. You need to fill your mind with Jesus by reading his Bible, and by praying, and by meeting with other Christians for fellowship in his name and worshipping. When you fill your mind with Jesus, guess what happens? The other stuff that's in your heart becomes less and less important. The stuff that is currently triggering off your reactions in anger, for example, become less important. Because if you really did daily remind yourself that Jesus loves you, yes, Jesus loves you, they say in Sunday school, and also reminded of the great lengths he went to sacrifice for you, and if you reminded that he's there with you that day, walking through each moment, and imparting wisdom and guidance and often protection and all sorts of blessings that Jesus pours out in a day by, if you're aware of that and you're grateful for it and you thought, oh yeah, being Christian is the best, guess what? It's hard to be angry when you're that happy. Yeah, look at the churches in the Bible when they were being persecuted. Like, you know, a lot of these churches were having people killed by the authorities, and a lot of them having property taken on, they're being thrown in jail and beaten up and raped and all sorts of horrible things. And in one level, not a good existence to be a Christian for some of these people, but guess what? They were happy in that state. They were full of joy. Paul himself said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. And this is a guy who had been in jail and beaten up more than anyone else in the ancient world. And he could say it because he knew Jesus. And he loved Jesus. He would fill his mind daily with Jesus. He didn't get angry at that stuff. He was able to endure. He had inner joy. The heart transplant happens with a relationship with Jesus. That's what you and I need to do. How does that look? Well, if you follow Jesus, it means you do reflect on the Bible. You meditate on a few verses a day. Jesus, what does this mean for me? How can I act on this today in my life? You pray. You have the relationship. He talks to you, you talk to him. You live that way. You live obediently. It makes a big difference. I'll give you a final story to finish about my dad. Some of you know my dad. Some of you never heard him. He's a retired minister. And he was a very troubled kid. He had an alcoholic father who beat the wife, his mum, and abused the kids. And they grew up in a time when there was no sort of support networks in the social security dimension of society. So the mum did the runner with three boys. He was the middle boy. And they went up to Katoomba to escape this horrible father with no money or anything. And he was a street kid. He was a violent guy. He was into all sorts of what we would call ancient substance abuse, which I think is just alcohol. Street kid, often didn't have a place to live. And anyway, wasn't a nice guy is the point. And an angry guy too, he would describe himself as that. And when he was 17 years old, there was a man who came to Sydney named Billy Graham in 1959. And he did a series of crusades in the Sydney showground. And there was quite a buzz in Sydney about Billy Graham because he was this young, fiery evangelist that everyone was hearing about in the news from America. Lots of people were going to his conferences and found him exciting. So there was a big interest. In fact, millions of people from Sydney went to the showground that year. And here, and Dad went along one day and heard a message and for the first time realized that Jesus was true. He needed to give his life to him, and he did. And people who knew him, especially his parents, said that he just switched. He transformed. He changed from that time. And over the next few years, he got obsessed with following Jesus, and just his life direction went into giving everything he could for Jesus. He became a minister. He married a very fine woman. He had a career of working in the church and doing all sorts of stuff. And now, even in retirement, he's a much different guy still than the guy that was my dad. He's a soft, gentle sort of dude. And he's been having this process. It just happened. If you saw him back then, and if you right now feel in your heart there's a lot of turmoil there, God can never deal with it. It happens in people's lives. Happened to my dad, it's happened to many people at this church. They can tell you their stories. It will happen to you if you stick with Jesus. So that's the tip for today. Anger is a problem. We don't want to sin in it. We don't want to be consumed by it. We don't want to be dominated by it. We don't want it to be the distinguishing feature in our relationships. We want to particularly deal with the hard, frustrating relationships that we have at home. And the answer is not to suppress it or whatever. It is to deal appropriately with the outward issues and then let Jesus transform the inward issues. So I'm going to tell you today that if you want to move through anger and you want to love properly, turn to Jesus and be wise about your actions. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, when you had all right to be angry at us for our constant rebellion and ignoring of you, you chose to love it and turn that anger in on yourself by the death of your Son, Jesus. You released it and you absorbed it and you dealt with our punishment and enabled us to know you in a forgiven and peaceful way, full of the promises that Jesus gives about eternal life and hope in him. And you offer a relationship now with us through your Holy Spirit, connecting us fundamentally to you, the source of love. So we pray as we look at anger, knowing these truths, that you love us, and that you provide a way through our darkest and deepest problems, that the anger problem won't be a consuming problem in our lives. Help us to deal with our anger issues and our anger relationships. Help us to consider the cost when we want to be angry. Help us particularly to take toll of the damage that will fly off to ones we love. Considering the cost, help us to be patient, to reflect, to go away, to chill out, to cool down, to watch our mouth. And then as we release our anger, which may be a right anger, help us to do it in the right way. Finally, Father, we pray that Jesus will fill us in our hearts and our thinking and help replace so many negative thoughts and motives. We ask this in his name. Amen.